I can just imagine Jesus walking along and seeing different types of ground, soil, and talking about good ground, thorny ground, rocky ground, and using what he had around him as an illustration for his sermon when he talked about the seed and the soils. And I think sometimes he wants us to be able to visualize things so that we grasp what we're talking about. And so the sermon again this morning is going to be one that hopefully will visualize what I want to teach about the power of the Word of God. And so, how many of you have ever seen what happens when you put a memento in a Coke? You probably wouldn't want to be sitting on the front row here unless you had, I don't know, a raincoat and some goggles. Well, I don't have any mementos. But what I do have is some chocolate milk and some Red Bull. How many of you like chocolate milk? Yeah. Chocolate milk, that's my favorite. I love to drink chocolate milk. It doesn't love me very much, though, or at least it doesn't love my diabetes. So we're going to let this chocolate milk represent me or you. And we're talking about the power of God's Word this morning. And so we're going to see what happens. Get ready to run, Carol. Up, oh, it's growing. It's fizzing. That's as high as it's going to go. Don't worry. Don't worry, Sharon. Yeah, it's not as scary as the devil. That devil is shocked a few people since we put him away. Oh, yeah, he's roaming the building over there, isn't he? So our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and we'll come back to this after we read the text. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says the word of God is quick and powerful. Now the word quick there is the Greek word zoe, and or that's the root of the word. And zoe means life. We get zoology from that word. And it's an abundant life. That's the type of life that is referred to with the Greek word zoe. And the word for powerful is the Greek word energē, which we get the English word energized from that word. And many translations say that the Word of God is alive, you know, quick, like the quick of your finger, alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. But what I really want you to pay attention to right now is the word for. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. When you see the word for, that means it's referring to what has previously been stated. And so we need to back up a little bit in order to figure out what this statement is referring to. And I want to go all the way back to the previous chapter. And I'm going to read it quickly to you from the New Living Translation, because I think it's more of a story style when you read it from that translation. So I'm going to read it from Hebrews 3:16 on to our text 4:12. And who was it who rebelled against God even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? Everybody say the word rest. Verse 19. So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Everybody say rest. Chapter 4, verse 1. God's promise of entering his rest, everybody say rest, still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. For this good news that God has prepared this rest, everybody say rest, has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter his rest. Rest? As of the others, God said, in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. Even though this rest has been ready since he made the world, we know it is ready because of the place in the scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. Hebrews 4:5. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. Verse 6. So God's rest is there. Excuse me. So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard his good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest. And that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the world, in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Verse 8. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fail. Verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So these preceding verses show us that God's plan and purpose is for us to enter into his rest. Okay? And the word of God is meant to get us to that rest. And so he says, the Word of God is alive and energized and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between the joint and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And all of that is so that we can enter into God's rest. God's trying to get us to heaven. He's not trying to harm you. He's not trying to hinder you. He's trying to help you with his word. The intent of this Bible is not to hurt you, to harm you, to cause bad things to happen to you. It's not meant to make you feel bad. It's meant to get you to God's rest. It's meant to help you. So he's trying to get you to hold on to your faith so that you make it to heaven. And his word will help you discern the soulish things from the spiritual things in order that you can get to heaven. So, the word of God has power. The word of God has power. Now, I went to Bible college, and one of the things I discovered at Bible college was that there are many professors who don't want to call this the word of God. There are a lot of preachers who don't want to call this the word of God. They may call it the Bible, or they may call it the scriptures, but they don't want to call it the word of God. They'll say it contains the word of God, but they don't want to say it is the word of God. And there's a big difference there. Because if it just contains the word of God, that means part of it's not the word of God. But I believe this Bible is the word of God. And I believe that's what we're taught. And I believe there's power in the word of God. So, as I said, the Greek word here is energēs, and it means powerful, active, or energized. The Bible is alive, and the Bible is powerful and active. God's word is a busy book. Are you hearing me? God's word is an active and busy book. When you read other books, you're gaining information, maybe knowledge or entertainment or whatever from them. When you read this book, go back to Hebrews 4:12 for me. What does it say this book is doing? It says it's cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, exposing our innermost thoughts and our innermost ideas and our desires. So you read other books, but this book reads you. Are you hearing me? There is power in this book. Now, many of you are getting so old that when you read the Bible, you may not remember everything that you read. But let me tell you something. The book doesn't forget. God's word does not forget. And it is alive and energized. It is active. Now, getting back to our experiment here, you can see that it's separated into three different colors. Now, I said the chocolate milk represented me, and the energy drink represented God's word, and it divided into soul and spirit and flesh. And God's word does that to us. It sorts out what is soulish. It sorts out what is flesh. And it sorts out what is spirit. And we may not remember every word that we read or every word that we heard. And the older we get, the harder it gets. But it will remember. And it'll have an impact on us. Because God promises that it will. The Word of God is powerful. And it's active. And it's performing a task. If we let it. If we listen to it. If we read it. If we study it. If we memorize it. And if we apply it to our lives. There is a power in it. That means the Word of God will sort you out. It'll sort me out. It'll sort us out. It'll sort out what is soul, what is spirit, what is flesh. And we may not even recognize it at the time. We may not even be cognitive of what it is doing in us. But it is a powerful agent of God, and it's working on the inside of us. The same power that created this world is still in this book because it's God's Word. How did God create the world? With His Word. He spoke it into existence. There's power in God's Word. Other books don't have this power. As I said, you can read other books, but this book reads you. If we go back to Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, let's read it a little different way. "For Winnie the Pooh is quick and powerful." Hello? "And sharper than any two-edged sword." Does that work for you? It doesn't work for me. There's no power in that book. Thomas the Train is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Does that work for you? It doesn't work for me either. That's one of my favorite childhood books, but it just doesn't have the power of God's Word. There's a big difference. Huge difference. Oh, and here's a book I was supposed to get rid of. Little Black Sambo. "For Little Black Sambo is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." And I don't know what's wrong with Little Black Sambo, because all he does is turn some tigers into some pancakes. Yeah, he turns tigers into pancakes and syrup. But there's no power in that book. There's no power in it. It's not like God's Word. You see, there is power in this. And you know that. If you're a born-again believer, you've heard it enough that you realize it. There's power in God's Word. There's no power in these books. There's no power in the newspaper. There's no power in any novel or any television series that you might watch. There's no power in Little House on the Prairie. There's no power in that. What's that series they used to have? Something about an angel? Touched by an angel? I wanted to say touched in the head, but touched by an angel. There's no power in that. But there's power in God's word. There's power in God's word. Now, I found these eggs up in the cabinet, and they're 2 years old. 2 years old. Who played baseball when you were younger? It's plastic. It's a fake egg. There's no nutrition in this. Spiritual food that has no power is fake. Eggs have nutrition, but fake eggs don't have any nutrition. You see, do you understand what I'm trying to say? A real egg, you can cook it and you can get nutrition from it. It'll feed you. And it'll help you to grow. But a fake egg, you're not going to get any nutrition out of that. You're not going to grow from eating. You can't even eat fake eggs. Well, I guess maybe you could try. But there's no power in a fake egg to cause you to grow. And there is no power in fake food or fake spiritual food to help you to grow. Only God's word has the power to get you to God's rest. Only God's word. And it is worthy of listening to it, of reading it, of studying it, of memorizing it, more than you'll ever know this side of heaven. There is power in God's word. And it will change you. And it will get you to heaven. And even if the devil tries to tell you that you're not getting anything out of it. The devil tries to tell you, oh, well, I can't even remember what I read yesterday. I might as well not waste my time. That's what the devil wants you to think you're doing. I promise you it is not a waste of your time when you're hearing God's word, when you're reading God's word, when you're studying God's word, when you're memorizing God's word, and when you're applying God's word to your life. It is never a waste of your time because there's power in the word of God. There's power in it. And it will get you where you are supposed to be going. It will get you to God's rest. That's the purpose of God's word, according to Hebrews 4:12, is to get you into God's rest, to get you into heaven. How many of you want to go there? How do we get to heaven? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We get there by putting our faith in Jesus. But what happens to us as we're living this life is we get attacked by sin, we get pressured by our peers. We have the devil sitting on our shoulder telling us wrong things to do. We have so many different things going on in our life that if we're not careful, we'll wind up in a life of sin instead of a life that's headed towards God's rest. Now, there's a lot of people that try to tell me that once we're saved, we're always saved and we could never lose it. But they have problems with things like, I don't know, John Piper's son. How many of you know who John Piper is? He's a famous Baptist preacher. Probably the most famous preacher in the United States right now. And his son recently came out declaring that he is no longer a believer and has started writing a lot of anti-Bible stuff on Twitter, attacking the Bible. And so all of these people who try to tell me once saved, always saved, they don't know what to do with the younger Piper. They want to say, oh, well, he was never saved. Well, he acted like he was saved for a while. They don't believe that I'll ask them point blank, do you believe in that there's any such thing as a born-again unbeliever? No. No, I don't believe there's a born-again unbeliever. They'll all tell me that. Well, how can this guy be an unbeliever if he was truly born again? If he was baptized in his father's church because they saw enough faith in him to water baptize him, how can he be a born-again unbeliever? The Bible says sin hardens our heart. And if we allow sin to continue in our life, it'll harden our heart to the point to where we no longer have faith in Jesus. So we need to keep a short sin account, don't we? We need to deal with sin as it comes up. And how do we deal with sin? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, God's word has the power to get us to that place of rest that God wants us to reach. You may think you can make it without God's word. I don't think you should chance it. I think you should feed on God's word, spiritually feed on God's word as often as you can. I think you should get the Bible on CD if you have a CD player, or the Bible on cassette if you have a cassette player, or you can download God's word from a place called Bible.is and listen to it for free. And I think you ought to keep it going all the time. Constantly let God's word be playing in your house and in your home. When you're doing the laundry, let God's word be playing. When you're studying something, you can let God's word be playing in the background. Most of us know how to multitask. When we're just going to sleep at night, we can put God's word on and let God's word be playing so that we hear it, so that it's building faith in our life, so that it's active inside of us. So that power is separating the soulish and the fleshly from the spirit. So that it's active inside of us. So, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of joint and marrow and soul and spirit. Will you avail yourself of the power that God has made available to you to keep you on the journey? How many of you would start off on a long journey? Let's say you want to drive from here to Philadelphia, and you want to go see my grandkids and take some pictures of them and send them back to me. And so how many of you would get on a long journey like that without enough gasoline to get there? What if you knew you weren't going to have enough gasoline and you didn't have money to buy gas, or you knew the stations were out of gas between here and there? Would you ever even start on the journey if you didn't think you were going to make it? When you start running out of gasoline, what would you do? You'd pull in and you'd buy gasoline, wouldn't you? Yeah. So we need to fill up. If we're going to make this journey to heaven, we need the power to get there, the energy to get there. And that's what God's word is for us. It's not just about remembering all the stories and remembering all of the names. It's about having God's word on the inside of us, energizing us and changing our lives so that we make it to that place of rest that God has for us. Stand with me.